On the show today, we have True Life fellow credit union's very own Mark Schaefer talking about his upcoming retirement at the end of 2019, being the leader of True Life fellow credit union for 25 years. This was a very special conversation, so I hope you check it out. So, I mean, I want to step back a little bit. What's the difference between you when you started in this business and who you are now? Because, I mean, you had this really incredible start to your career internationally as well. So, I mean, so how have you changed? Basically, how have you changed over the years to the leader you are now?
Well, I think like many of us, you know, you become a little more reflective and philosophical. Mm-hmm. And I'll have to admit, as a young person, I probably was more commercial oriented. But as I stepped into the credit union version, I started to see how much more valuable that was. I had always had kind of gravitated that way, working for the organization American States, and I'd built internship programs in DC, and it seemed like I'd always worked in international. I'd always worked in nonprofit, mm-hmm. even though I had this idea that I wanted to do well financially and successfully and all that. But I always ended up working in that space. And then as I got deeper into credit unions, I realized that you can do good and do well. And probably if you had to choose one, I'd probably just as soon do good.
Yeah.
And I mean, we don't take vows of poverty, but on the other hand, you know, if you can't leave what you do at the end of the day and say, I did something worthwhile, you know, so I think that's how it changed me, mm-hmm. by actually having the opportunity to experience it and operate within that space and grow within that space and watch it grow around me and make a difference here and there. Mm-hmm. I think it made me a better person, a richer person, for having had that opportunity.
Oh, incredibly. Yeah, I think when you're doing good, I think everything else kind of falls in line when you're doing work like that. So I think that's, there's a huge lesson there right now. And speaking of when you were starting out and getting your feet wet and all that type of stuff, what role did mentors have for you? Because you mentioned obviously working, not that Brian was a mentor, but he was a partner in international things and like that. But the folks that helped you along the way and stuff, or even other CEOs and stuff, how have they helped you succeed over the years? Any words of wisdom there?
Yeah, they were huge. So back, you know, my first CEO when I was controller, United States Postal Credit Union, a guy named Paul Dickerson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I interviewed with him on an afternoon, he said, well, it'd be about a week before I'd hear anything. I got home and the phone was ringing. He said, can you come back in tomorrow?
Wow.
We had this immediate connection, and I had my little TRS-80, we called him Trash-80 from Radio Shack, and I was able to do his financial reports the next day. I could do the financial reports for the credit union the next day. Now, the people in the computer room hated me because, you know, but I was kind of on the cutting edge of technology at the time, which is kind of funny now, but it was VisiCalc, you know. And just that relationship with him, and then the way he groomed me. And he took me, I created the first ATM network in the Washington, D.C. market. He said, why don't you spend half your time being president of setting up this ATM network for the credit unions in the Washington, D.C. market? And the other half, you can be, just things like that. I was like,
wow.
Oh my, people do this?
Yeah.
People like Don Bell, who was the CEO of NASA credit union at the time. And there's so many. Of course, my contemporaries, I was the young guy. That's the scary thing about this. I was the really young guy, but the people like Bucky Sebastian and mm-hmm. and Tom from Suncoast.
Oh yeah,
those guys. Even Ed Callahan and those guys were all like the movers and the shakers. Mm-hmm. Stan Holland.
Yeah,
and I was I was in there with them. You know, and but you know they're a little older than me, so I've kind of watched them. You know, I was early on, I was on the board of the National Association of the Federal Credit Unions, and I was the treasurer. I was on the executive committee for 7 years there, very young. So I got into it really young.
Good for you.
A lot of mentors, but I was also given a lot of responsibility and had to make some very, tough decisions
mm-hmm.
Early on Had a lot of guidance and a lot of help from key people in the movement. But that's a feature of the credit union movement, is we believe in mentors, mm-hmm. and those mentors are critical to helping us get on the right path. So I had many mentors.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about this industry, is that we talk to each other a lot. You know, we compare notes, what's working, what's not working, and also, hey, how are you doing in your job? How can we help you? You know, so what can I learn from you? What can you learn from me? Type of thing. So that's what I like about this industry. It gives me goosebumps every time I start talking about it. So speaking of that, so where you are now, and I can't believe you're retiring, because you look like you could go on for another 50 years easy. So any advice for future leaders coming into because there's obviously a big transition going on in the industry right now, especially in the leadership position. So what's your
I had to think about that, so I'm going to grab my notes.
Here. Okay. Any advice for future leaders?
I would just say, continue to communicate the difference. You know, that there is a difference in a credit union and a bank.
Yeah.
As we get bigger and larger and we look like a bank.
Yeah.
And we hire a lot of bankers.
I know. I've done panels where I've had former bankers turn CEOs.
And Todd Hall, my successor, came from banking, and most of our executives came from banking, but they drank the Kool-Aid and they really believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand the value of the difference.
Right.
But we don't ever want to forget the value of the difference. Irrespective of size, as we know, a lot of reporters say, hey, why don't we just tax the big credit unions or something? You're like, well, you really don't get it. Because actually the larger credit unions serve more of the low-income, moderate-income people, by far.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Federal, for example, I mean, an ensign in the Navy does not make very much money.
Right.
And their best source is Navy Federal.
Right.
And Treliant is considered a relatively large credit union. We serve tons of moderate to low-income people. So it's not the size of the credit union. It's understanding the difference, mm-hmm. and knowing how to serve that market. I would just say, also question everything and everybody. I was known, I probably wasn't beloved by the trade associations because I've never been afraid to get in their face and say, that's just not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because
believe me, I was on the board of the NAFCU, and I've served as chairman of the Federal Subcommittee for CUNA. And I love our leaders. You know, I'm good friends with Dan Berger and mm-hmm. Nussel. I think they're fantastic leaders.
Right.
But as CEOs, we have an obligation to challenge them. And even when they say, when they're going at each other,
mm-hmm.
We have to decide, what's best for our members. Mm-hmm. You know, don't get caught up in the brawls between the trade associations. I've been there. We have a higher level of responsibility to our members. General Robinson, who used to run NAP, used to say nothing ever happens until the member puts a dollar across that teller counter. I guess now electronically sent you
exactly.
that dollar. But and it's true, and so you just remember to be analytical, to be honest, require them to be intellectually honest.
Yeah.
And don't get caught up because we had a hard time getting the campaign for consumer choice off the ground because the trade associations were fighting with
mm-hmm.
each other. And we actually called a meeting in D.C. and made them come to a meeting of the minds. And so it's up to us as credit union leaders to sometimes find the way. Usually the trade associations are going to help us. They're going to make the right decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure you're involved, and don't be afraid to question. Don't be afraid to challenge. And I would say, have fun, because, have a sense of humor. You don't know what you're going to get. You're going to get challenged with different things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to be extremely resilient, because things are going to come out of nowhere. But have fun and recognize that what you're doing is good. And it's really good for the consumer. It's good for the economy. It's good for financial services. And, do it differently and have fun doing it. And, and then I think you'll end up having a rewarding career.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And having said that, if you could write a brief description for your job as a help wanted ad, what skills and experience would you need for it, especially in today's ever-changing business climate?
Well, I think you certainly need the skills and the experience. But those can be found. I think you have to be resilient,
mm-hmm.
because you know, it's not a straight path. There's lots of twists and turns. I would say, you know, make sure, you know, that you're committed, you know, that you're serious about your commitment to the mission of a credit union, because it is different. Make sure you have a sense of humor, and then my two words were Todd Hall. I just happened to find the right guy, you know.
Good for you.
His name is Todd Hall, and you're from South Carolina. That would be, you know, be on your job description. But
there,
no, I was just fortunate to find a really fantastic leader to help Trulliant with this next chapter.
Yeah. What would you want your legacy? What do you want your legacy to be at Trulliant? Because obviously you've done some. I mean, I have 4 pages of stuff here, Mark, that notes and questions and things like that, and I could go on and on about what the things that you've done in your career and at Trulliant and stuff. But what is there, one or two things that you want your legacy to be not only Trulliant, but even maybe the credit union industry as a whole?
Well, I think it's you know, everybody throws in their little piece of sand to make the beach, if you will, and so, you know, and I'm a big history buff on Cray. I visited the Desjardins House in Lévis, Canada, across from Quebec. And I mean, I know about, you know, Desjardins and Filene, and certainly all the way back to the to Raiffeisen. And although I saw some guy recently that said Crays were actually invented in Japan. So oh. I don't know. But if each of us, you know, can have a little bit of a contribution towards moving the concept forward, I feel like I had that opportunity because of the HR 1151 and mm-hmm. our position in that. I had just come down from D.C., so I was kind of dragged back up to D.C., but yeah. I was good at D.C. And we built a model legislative program for working with our members of Congress and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, if I can just feel that I had, you know, contributed one little piece along with what everybody else is contributing and will contribute in the future to that.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, with Trulliant, we've kept up with technology.
Have you ever? Yeah, you guys have done a great job.
To say, look, you know, our online banking, our mobile banking is every bit as good as Bank of America or Wells Fargo. You know, we're there, we're relevant, we're viable for our members.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they join. That's why they continue to do business. We make it simple, we make it easy, and we do it in their best interest. So keeping that model alive and building and helping it stay relevant,
mm-hmm.
the biggest thing is hiring the right talent.
Yeah, no doubt.
You can't get big if you can't hire talent.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you obviously you can't do it yourself, and so you have to have people that you can trust and that can scale it. Can scale it to more American consumers.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, you know, we've been fortunate to have found and have been able to make it compelling for a lot of good talent to come aboard and continue to grow the institution. So, and then of course, I can't leave out the boards. You know, I've worked well with boards for 39 years now, and, you know, some boards have grown and changed but I think our boards, you know, have stepped up as they've had to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't stay in the past. I mean, you have to constantly be evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm excited about the work I've done with boards. Although I told my wife, don't ever ask me to serve on a association board or, you know, I'm probably done with boards for a little while because, I mean, I've been doing it for almost 40 years.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I've been doing good. I did well with it. I love my board members. But, you know, at some point you're like, okay, I don't need to be involved with boards for a little while.
Understandable. All right, I know you got a busy day ahead of you, but I want to wrap up with this question. What's the status of the, in your eyes, what's the status of the industry today, and where would you like to see it go?
Well, I think we're in fantastic shape. You know, as we said earlier, a third of the U.S. population has chosen to be involved with the credit union.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're on an upward path. And, you know, memberships have been growing. I do understand that there's fewer credit unions, but the credit unions that can present a compelling value proposition are growing. Trulliant has grown.
Yes.
So I think we have to just continue, as I said earlier, be able to differentiate ourselves and explain to a consumer why having an institution that you own that's going to help you build your financial foundation, going to operate in your best interest, is what you're looking for. We're a big participant in the awareness campaign. The new, you know, we put in double the recommended amount.
Good for you.
Well, I've been going to the roundtable for 20 years and saying we've got to do a Got Milk campaign, and people would shout me down, and
yeah.
For years they would say you can't even bring it up. and then one year I went, we're willing to put in the first million.
There you go.
Russell still reminds me of that. We ended up putting in more than a million.
Good for you.
I do believe we have to continue to educate the member and find out, you know, what is compelling to them. And if you see the campaign, you'll see that it's definitely not designed for me. It's designed for the new emerging consumer who might find a credit union more compelling than a bank. So I think we just, you know, keep hiring the right people and keep differentiating ourselves and being able to convey that in a way that's compelling to people.
Very cool. All right. That's a great message to end on, Mark. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with me today. I got goosebumps again talking about, especially our UCLA connection that we talked about before the recording. So I'm especially honored to talk to you, and a big thank you for the service that you provided this industry for the last, what do you say, 40 years, four decades. So thank you so much for that, and I wish you all the best in the next chapter of your life. It's gonna be exciting.
I'm so glad you do what you do.
Well, thank you.
Bring a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of creativity to this process, and I think you add real value for all of us.
So thank you so much. Thank you very much.
I don't think you're that corny. My wife does, but I don't think you're.
Well, we try to stay on the edge of corniness and funness and all that type of stuff.
You came up with your running shoes in Vienna. That was my favorite moment. So.
Yep, very embarrassing, but fun at the same time. So anyway, all right, Mark. Well, thank you so much again. Appreciate it. And let's keep in touch.
I'd love to. Thanks,
all right.
Mike. Take care. Bye.
You too.